Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, we're going to be studying Psalm 40, and I'm going to read it first, because it's only 17 verses. I wait patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned of us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. Do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled as their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. Gotta get to my notes. Amen. In this psalm, it covers two topics, deliverance and thanksgiving. Yeah, Psalm 40. In verse 1 through 3, we wait patiently and expectantly for the Lord. Did we hear his cry? I cried out to Jesus for 53 years to deliver me from depression. In Psalm 69:3, turn the pages. We'll get there in a minute. Mean, those of you will beat me to find this. So 69, 2, and 3. And it says this. I sink into miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters and the floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. God, rescue me from the mire and the pit. And I was weary and crying out to the Lord for help, and my eyes grew dim with depression. But thanks be to God, He rescued me out of the mire and the pit. Depression is like the slimy pit of mud and mire, being mud and mire, and it is a horrible pit of tumult and destruction. Depression is like, and I missed that, slimy pit and mud and mire, being dragged through the mud of guilt and shame, depression, condemnation, buried anger, confusion, fear, hopelessness, doubt, and on top of this are Satan's many accusing lies. So I went down and down and down into this pit, but thanks be to God, He reached down into that pit and pulled me out and set me on the rock, Christ Jesus. For He alone is our deliverer and our God and King. And thanks be to God. This year, God delivered me after 53 years. And I praise God and I say hallelujah. It is just been such an exciting, amen. I'll clap to that too. It has been such an exciting year for me. I've been filled to overflowing with joy and love and peace. And God has been giving me revelation, and it has been just a really exciting year for me. He has put a new song in my mouth and in my heart, a song of praise and adoration and thanksgiving to God. So as people see my joy and love and peace, they will revere and worship and have confidence and reliance in God. In verse 5, it states, "The Lord, you have multiplied the wondrous works in my life. You have given me far beyond what I can ask or think." Then going into 6 and 8, it says in the Old Testament, the law did not satisfy the eternal cost of sin. And in Romans 10:5 through 8. It says this. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Also, I'd like to read Micah 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves or a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before your God. God does not want our sacrifices to prove that we are worthy of his love and worthy to enter into the kingdom of God. Some followers participate in water baptism, in communion, in worship services, and they also do a lot of service. But is their heart truly set on God? So no religious activity can replace genuine obedience from active faith in God. No sacrifice can ever take the place of faith and true heart in a holy commitment and obedience to God. In verse 7, it talks about, behold, Jesus brings salvation. His word repairs our broken relationship with God. In verse 8, it says, delight to do your will. Your law lives in my heart. God wants us to delight in him for all that he has given us, and we need to meditate on all the blessings that God has given to us. And we have to be thankful. God delivers us from all the anxiety and fears and on. Thanksgiving is what sets us free from the condemnation and confusion that the devil throws at us. In verse 8, still in verse 8, I will love with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. But the Lord requires you to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with him. In verse 9 and 10, it tells us to proclaim good news of deliverance of sin and guilt and shame and condemnation and tell of his shed blood. Of course, that cleanses us from all sin. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. We have to proclaim his faithfulness and his salvation to the assembly of the congregation, or, you know, the our churches, you know, need to hear the truth. And there are many people that are sitting in their pews just accepting, receiving the word, but not proclaiming it out to those that are around us and those that are lost. God has called us to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to allow Christ to fill us and renew us each day and allow him to live through us and proclaim the goodness of the Lord. We must, said that, not, we may not conceal or restrain to proclaim God's steadfast love and truth, also his faithfulness. And we need to multiply this to the unsaved. The harvest is waiting for us to proclaim the gospel. But we need to wait on the Lord first to allow him to fill us. And then we have to ask the Holy Spirit to flow through us and bring the life to other people. In verse 11, God says, do not withhold the Lord's tender mercies and grace, for he desires us to pour out that to the people around us. We are so blessed that God has entered into our hearts and into our minds. We need to be thankful for what God has done in our lives. We need to meditate on the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we have him living in our hearts, and we have the Godhead bodily living in our hearts, which I can't understand. It's amazing that the Holy God is willing to live in us. And God wants us to allow him to live through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, let his love and truth and his righteousness continually preserve us and protect us. In verse 12, it talks about the abundant troubles that surround us. I concentrated on my sin, and Satan, of course, piled on all his lies and tried to keep me depressed. But thanks be to God, he delivered me from the depression. So as I, you know, condemned myself, it drove me deeper into depression. And of course, Satan loved that and threw all sorts of lies to me, and he would twist the gospel. And it was really difficult to keep my eyes focused on him. I was crushed by the multitude of my sins that were many as the hairs of my head. And my heart failed many times before God. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ saved me and delivered me from my sins and from the depression. And he set me free from the shame and confusion and the disgrace. We need to destroy all of Satan's lies and attacks against us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We only can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, because Satan is alive and well, but we have he who is greater in us than he that is in the world. In verse 14, David cried out, as I cried out, so did I, so I was delivered from my enemies who wanted to ruin my life. And there are too many years that I was caught in those areas of depression. But God is going to use that in my life. And the Lord has called me to wake up the church. And as the Lord opens the doors, I'm going to be sent into the churches that the people, even the Bible teaching churches, there are people that are sleeping. They need to be woken up and enter in to the kingdom of God and proclaim who they are in Christ and proclaim that to the people around us. In verse 15, it says, let them, and I'm quoting out of the Amplified, let them be desolate by reason of shame who say to me, aha, aha. So Satan is constantly there trying to destroy us and trying to make us feel desolate and hopeless. And in depression, a lot of times you feel hopeless. But God, in his great mercy, always had that thread of hope. I always knew that I would come out of it. And when I would come out of it, God would give me great revelation. But then I'd go back in it, and I'd go out, in, out, in. But the Lord, this year, in January 31st, spoke to me, you are no longer going to have depression, which I'm holding on to, and know that God is doing it. And in verse 16, also quoting from the English Standard Version, it says this, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Those who love your salvation, and that is not the whole verse, but ends end quote there. We need to say that God is great. He is continually, he should be continually exalted. We need to lift his name up and allow the joy of the Lord to flow through us and let the love of Christ to flow through us. But again, we need to wait. We need to wait on the Lord to allow him to fill us to overflowing. So we need to humble ourselves before the Lord, as David cried out in verse 17. And as I said, we need to wait for the Lord to give us the direction and his plans. Now we need to go forth and proclaim the gospel, because that is what the Lord has said in Matthew, at the end of Matthew, in Matthew 28. We are to go and proclaim the gospel, and God will be with us. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you and praise you and worship you, for you are our God. You are our deliverer. You are a rock, and you have set us on that foundation. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to wait on you, that the Holy Spirit might flow forth through us, that we might be able to proclaim the gospel with great joy and with great love and with great peace, and that we might be kind and gentle to those people that are around us. Lord, teach us how to make friends, that we might share the gospel. And Lord, as you call us to witness to strangers, Help us be obedient unto you. So we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for your word. We just exalt and praise you and continue to bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.